Joy comes, tears fall. that doesn't mean we gotta be enemies. Maybe we just get brave, take a big leap of faith, call a truce so me and you can find the better way. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. Yeah. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. Just no love, God help us get revolutionary. I'm turning the TV down, drowning their voices out, cause I believe you and me can find some common ground. See, maybe I'm not like you, but I walk a mile in your shoes. If it means I might see the world the way you do. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. What would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. Yeah, he would love first.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, brothers and sisters, believers all over the world. Good morning. Good morning. God help us get revolutionary. What would Jesus do? He would love first. That's what the song said. He would love first. I've been up a long time because you know I'm in deliverance over here. And the Holy Spirit told me that I need to hit this. I better hit this. Don't forget to hit this. This is the time to hit this. I said, okay, what is it? I got on up. And I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going to declare some stuff into existence in the name of Jesus. But if you can post for me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I don't see Jessica. I need somebody to post that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Thank you, Jennifer. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got that? I'm going to ask you, how many of you have committed this scripture right here to your memory? You know this by heart. If you don't, you need to. Every time the devil brings you a voice, brings you a sound, a thought that is not of God, this is what you need to give him. Are you hearing me? Every time the devil tries to tell you something, give you an idea, you need to tell him, for though I walk in the flesh, I do not, devil, war after the flesh. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you will memorize this, and you don't even have to speak it, all you have to do is think it. The minute the enemy try to put a voice or any familiar thing that he's using in your head or in your thoughts, even feelings, you run this on him. After a while, he will completely stop. Because remember, he doesn't want to hear the word of God. And he doesn't want you to hear it, because he wants you to hear or see or feel whatever it is he's trying to put on you. But you know it's not of God. And look, I'm telling you what works. All that other stuff will... For so many years, you know, I've seen people go through stuff. And the devil, when I first got saved, he tried me. Tried me because I was, you know, I was reasonably intelligent and thought a lot. Especially those of you that have a tendency to overthink things, it's the enemy. When God gave me this, and I started putting it on the devil, time after time after time, he stopped. He completely stopped. Because he knew that I knew that it was a strategy that he was trying to use against me in my own mind. So the Lord told me, specifically, to refresh your memory about this, because you know I teach about it a lot. I talk about you put this on the devil, but you got to commit it to memory. You got to get it to the point where it'll just roll through your mind or roll off your tongue. You know. And sometimes I don't even say, like, look, devil, I just say, though I walk in the flesh, I do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds in my mind, mindsets, casting down imaginations, especially that doubt and unbelief. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Into captivity. But you must, now, I don't know how long you've been around me or if you paid attention, but over here, we all have a box of 3x5 cards. And we write, I mean, my box is so old, I must have 8 boxes now. But there are certain scriptures that I commit to memory. I commit a lot of them to memory. because I know the word works, and whenever I need it, I just pull it out. Now, you might think, like I was talking to one person about this long prayer. I mean, this prayer was long. And I looked at the prayer, and it's coming against this and coming against that. But, brothers and sisters, the greatest winner of spiritual warfare is supposed to be who you and I pattern ourselves after as our example. Jesus didn't have no long prayers like that. Satan himself came to Jesus in the wilderness. He came to Jesus at a time Jesus was weak. And Jesus quoted him three scriptures. One out of Deuteronomy. One out of, two of them might have come from Deuteronomy. I can't remember where the other one came from. Might have been Lamentations. But don't hold me to that. But Jesus quoted the devil. Now you got to understand, Jesus had been sent into the wilderness, led into the wilderness by God his Father through the Holy Spirit to be tested of the devil. If Jesus was led into the wilderness by God his Father and the Holy Spirit to be tested in the wilderness, and the devil came, the tempter came, and Jesus only used three scriptures. It is written, it is said, it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shall I serve. Three scriptures. And those three scriptures back the devil up. What makes you think? And I mean, I've got some prayers that are 8, 10, 12 pages. But I found out what Jesus did works. It works. So you got a lot of people who do a lot of stuff to make themselves, I mean preachers, you know, make themselves appear to be more effective. You'll never be more effective than Jesus. Because Jesus was God manifest in the flesh as the Son of God, even although he was fully man on the earth. And he was fully man so he could give us an example how we can live in the kingdom and overcome the flesh, the world, the devil, and everything else. You know, they made them bracelets and things. What would Jesus do? I tell you what Jesus would do, everything that's in the word, and that's what Jesus wants you to do. The other stuff prolongs your misery. I'm telling you, I'm not joking about this. If you think you can pray a prayer greater than Jesus, then you're crazy. You know why I say that? Jesus was the Word, and Jesus is the Word that became flesh. There's no, it's like when I'm in trouble, you know, like any kind of trouble, first thing I say is, Jesus, I have trained myself, and the Holy Ghost has conditioned me to call on the name of Jesus first. When I get sick, which it happens from time to time, thank you, Jesus. I used to, every 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, I used to catch a cold. And boy, if I would get a cold, it would take me off my feet. So one day I said, Jesus, you can stop me from catching colds. I don't believe this lie. Every flu season, you got to get the flu. I said, I don't want it. And glory be to God, I don't get them. But you see, my level of faith, and I'm only talking about me. I ain't boasting or nothing because, man, you know, when you start boasting, the devil gonna try you. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you, you can cast down every imagination. Because number one, the devil is trying to infiltrate your mind because he can't read your mind. God never gave him that ability. But he can have a demon whisper in your ear, and all you got to do is say, and the devil will take that as an agreement. And it's on between you and the enemy. But if you hear a noise and you say, devil, whatever part of that you need, I'm taking every thought, I'm bringing it into captivity right now. Right now. I bring this thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And then my favorite thing, I always say it anyway, is just shut up. When he started, you know, he don't do it no more, but he used to try to talk to me. I don't care where I am. I don't care what. If I can't say it out loud, I start thinking it. Shut up. You have to take a position, whatever position that is you take against the devil, and you have to stand on it. You can't take a position today and tomorrow, you know, you let it go. Or while you're feeling good, you take a position. And then when he brings something on you, a little something, because he'll test you with a little pain. He'll test you with some discomfort. The test is to see whether you're going to take it and accept it. He will watch God heal you. He will watch God heal you, and he'll say, as soon as they get out of the presence of God, they're not going to stand anyway. I'll catch them. When I put some pain on this hemorrhoid, they ain't going to stand. When I make that leg hurt, they ain't going to stand. You have to know for yourself, like that guy wrote that song, Colton Dixon. You got to know for yourself that the devil is a liar. And then you got to be convinced in your own heart that everything he brings to you is full of lies, full of bad, full of deceit, full of evil. And it only has three intentions: to steal from you, kill you, or destroy you. That's the only thing the devil got for you. He can cover it up in the beginning, make it look like, you know, it's not him. Once again, you need that discerning gift, because you need to be able to discern his works. By the same token, you need to be able to discern when God is doing something good, good, good. Good, good, good. Because God is good. God is good all the time and always and in every way. But the enemy's always going to try to disguise it, cover it up, make you believe a lie. So you commit this scripture. It's actually, what, three? For though we walk in the flesh, the flesh can't help you. The flesh ain't got nothing for you good. We do not war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Stop trying to use what won't work for you. David wouldn't take Saul's armor. He was a shepherd. He went out there with a slingshot and some stones. And the giant tried to lap him. Stupid. What did David tell Goliath? He said, you come to me with a sword and a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. And as he was talking, he was steadily advancing toward that giant. And then what? He took what he knew how to handle and killed the giant. It's going to use, if you get in agreement with him, he will use every tool that you already have at your disposal. He had trained up David. David got into practice to kill the giant by killing a bear and a lion. He thought he was saving the life of the sheep. He was. But it wasn't just animal sheep. He was saving the life of the sheep of God, the flock of God. So, if you're around me, I'll test you and see if you got this to memory. I call Jessica up sometimes, and I ask her. I'm waiting to hear what she's going to say. If she's going to answer me in faith or not, in believing. Because, you know, some people play this. This is not a game with me. My life is at stake. And your life is at stake, too, whether you know it or not. But God, he made this very good. Now, listen to this. The Holy Spirit started talking to me. And I was writing. I was typing over there on the computer about 3:30, 3 o'clock. Then I sat at the computer and went to sleep, woke back up. But I was trying to put it in this kind of format. So just listen. It was good. It was good. We are redeemed. You want me to remind you that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. He wanted me to remind you that through Jesus' blood, we have been brought back to the state Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. You see, they lived in the blessing and in the presence of God. Ain't that something? Look at this. There was no sickness. But I'm telling you, God is doing something, because God reminded me of this. Look, there was no sickness, because I've been focusing that way. But then he said, and there was no poverty either, Erica. I said, what? To myself, I'm thinking, okay, is God getting ready to give me a anti-poverty message? That'll be good if he is. The Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance when Adam was obeying God, he had everything he needed. That Adam and Eve literally lived in the land that flowed with milk and honey. But when Adam disobeyed God, God declared that curse that came upon the land through Adam's sin. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field in the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Now that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. You see, God cursed the ground with thorns and thistles. And if you don't understand that, You've been redeemed from the curse, that curse, by the blood of Jesus. He was kind of showing me that if you don't understand that you've been redeemed from that, then the land we go to work in, see how he had us anoint the land and had me pray, because I had to go do that. And then I prayed for you, your land, and your home. Then the land we go to work in, the land we build our business in, and the land we live in is still under a curse. When Adam sinned, no longer could he live in God's abundance and splendor. The land was cursed, and by the sweat of his brow, man would have to work out, scratch out an existence. And the Holy Spirit was reminding me that since that day, mankind has sweated for everything it has gotten. But Jesus came. And the Holy Ghost said, don't you realize, Erica, that Jesus broke the curse of poverty? And so then I stopped for a minute because I prayed against mammon and poverty for a whole year one time. I'm not complaining about a thing of the or not one complaint do I have about the results because I saw the fruit. But he wanted me to remind you thousands of years after Adam sinned, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, was taken before the religious and political authorities, stand trial as a fraud and a heretic. People were mocking him. They saw a thorn bush, the symbol of the curse of poverty on the land. They took some of those thorn branches and they wove them into a crown and placed that crown on the brow of Jesus. And they shoved it in his head so deep until the blood flowed from his head. You'll find that to read and study later in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. But this is the point the Holy Ghost was showing me. The symbol of poverty was placed on the brow of Jesus, the second Adam. When those thorns pierced his head, Jesus shed his blood for our redemption from poverty. I know you didn't hear me. I said, when those thorns pierced his brow and his blood began to flow down from those thorns and those thistles, his blood was being shed for our redemption from poverty. We have been cursed with poverty by the sweat of Adam's brow. Are you getting this? But we were redeemed from the curse of poverty by the blood on Jesus' brow. What Satan means for good, the Holy Ghost say, what Satan means for evil, the Holy Ghost says that God is turning that stuff around and God is going to use it for your good. The soldiers took that crown of thorns and placed it on Jesus' head. But instead of sweat, blood poured out. Now, by the power of the blood of Jesus, not only is the curse of poverty broken, but those of us who take the name of Jesus And those of us who claim his blood, put this in the chat room for me, Jessica. We are anointed. We have been anointed to prosper. You hear me? Scripture says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now there's something we got to clear up here. Jesus was never poor. When the Bible says, and this is what the Holy Ghost wanted me to get and understand. When the Bible says Jesus became poor, it means, glory be to God, listen to this, that Jesus was poor in comparison to what he had in his heavenly home. You see, we forget in heaven, the streets are made of pure gold. Walls and gates are made of precious gems. And there's not one poverty bone in all of God's body. You see, when someone reads that Jesus became poor, he was poor in relationship to how he lived in heaven. He said, that's why I showed you the crown. I showed you your crown. That same crown, I have a crown for everybody. I showed you those gems in that crown. And you just took it and you didn't say anything about it. And I said, well, Holy Ghost, it wasn't nothing I could say, but you showed me a crown. That's right. But now I'm telling you why. Don't you know that all of those gems are precious stones? Don't you know all of those gems makes a person rich? No, wealthy. He said, go over there to England and see if you can see the crown jewels in Westminster. He said, all of those jewels are symbolic of the wealth of the Queen of England. He said, do you think the Queen of England has more wealth than your father? I said, no. He said, that's right. He said, I'm going to break it down to you. He said, if you were to take all the money in the world, all the money in the world, and give it to one man, he said that one man would still be a poor man in comparison to what Jesus had in heaven before he became a human being on earth. He said he's neither poor, nor is he weak, nor is he without authority. He said Jesus could have called down the angels at any time to provide for his needs. He said, think about it. Think about it. He said, think about it. Before Mary and Joseph went to the barn, they first went to the inn to rent a room. I said, okay. He said, it is, what do people think? That Mary was going to sneak out the window without paying the bill? Mary, Joseph, and Jesus? See, I had to laugh at that one. He said, no. He said, the problem wasn't that Mary and Joseph didn't have any money. He said, the problem was that the inn had no room for the Savior. He said, it is time to dispel these lies. He said people have been taught religiously and traditionally that Jesus was poor. So Christians should be poor. So it's okay for Christians to be poor. He said, they got that thing so messed up, Erica, but I'm here to tell you today. That's why I had you go to 2 Corinthians 10, because all this lies, all these mindsets have to be brought into the knowledge of the truth. I said, okay. He said, Christmas is coming up, Jesus' birthday. He said, they're going to try to show three little wise men and three little boxes of gifts. He said, just take a quick minute and go and look up that on that Google. So I did. And you know what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh were priceless during that time. They were priceless. He said, and who ever said, because I had debated this one time, we don't know how many wise men came to see Jesus. He said, do you realize, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, because I'm still rapping, I'm still getting this together myself. The Holy Spirit made known to me, it's hard to describe this, that the Word of God is the most powerful thing on earth. He said, people have made the Word of God of no effect. He said, used to be a time during the California Gold Rush. Now, why he said this to me, I don't know, but he just said during the California Gold Rush, some miners would dig and 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 never find gold. He said other miners would go out there, ask me to send angels to guide their pick, and when they pull their pick back, they take all their strength and hit it in the ground and strike gold. He said, that's the same power I've given you with my word. It's not hit and miss. It strikes gold every time. I said, okay. He said, but I don't want you to fall into that religious thinking. Whatever traditions of men you have left, I want you to begin to get rid of them right now. And I really couldn't think of which ones the Holy Ghost was talking about. He said, well, just take you some time and get rid of all of them. He said, one of the strategies, and I'm going to reveal it to you right now, one of the greatest strategies of the enemy of your soul is to keep you in poverty. He said poverty affects your thinking, good or bad. Poverty affects your activity, good or bad. Poverty affects your health, good or bad. Poverty affects your relationships, good or bad. Poverty affects the air you breathe because of the environment you live in, good or bad. Poverty affects the water you drink, good or bad. He said, so do you think Jesus wants you to be trapped in poverty? When he told you himself in John 10:10, that he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man to have to repent for anything God said. He said, the devil got my people speaking poverty. trapped. And he kept using that word, like, trapped. You see, brothers and sisters, that blood that Jesus shed when they shoved that crown of thorns down on his head, the blood of Jesus covered the mind, brothers and sisters. The blood of Jesus covered your ability to think. The blood of Jesus. And you know what the devil had been doing? I was trying to remember because I don't know if I was too slow or what. He said, the devil wants people to reason, Erica. He said, the devil wants people to reason themselves right out of me. He said, you know what reasoning is, Erica? I say, what? He said, reasoning is the voice of fear. I said, what? He said, take you some time and study it. Reasoning is the voice of fear. He said, you want to know what fear sounds like in an everyday life? He said, reasoning. He said, people reason themselves out of so much that they have reasoned themselves out of my ability to provide for them the way I want to. I just said, okay. 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 He said, reasoning will reason a Christian out of a nice home or a nice car or a nice church because the devil done told him through religion, oh, you shouldn't have that. He said, remember I told you the poor you're going to have with you always? I said, yes. He said, well, I'm telling you, I'm also going to have the prosperous always to take care of the poor. He said, and there's something else. He said, God has enough money to win the world 1,000 times over and still see all his children blessed above anything they could ask or think. I said, okay. He said, and don't forget Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner for the righteous. I said, that means that we're supposed to leave something for our children and our children's children. He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. But God is also in the process of moving the wealth of the world in the hands of his people, his children. You see, the Holy Spirit said, we have a blood covenant with Jesus. This got me. We have a blood covenant with Jesus to move us from poverty into prosperity. He said some unbelievers have our stuff. The wealth of this earth is for God's children. But it's up to us to appropriate it. Good health, good wealth, and everything in between. That means good physical health and good mental health and stability and balance. So God says, Second Corinthians 10:3 and 5 is so important because it's blocking us. It's blocking our inheritances from him. God wants us to be able to take good care of our families. And then he wants us to have so much that we can bless the world with the gospel. He said, tell them this one and one thing. Wealth is not of the devil. That's why God, that's the way God talked to me. He said, wealth is not of the devil. Remind them. I said, can I get a scripture on that one? Yeah, James 1 and 13. God can tempt no man with evil. So if money and prosperity were evil, then God never would have given us promises of blessings. God never would have said that he would rebuke the devourer for our sakes, or that he would not destroy the fruit of our ground. God said we're going to be a delightful land. God told me to tell you, money is not of the devil. It starts with a mindset. You got to take all them thoughts of the devil into captivity. It doesn't please God. And I think the Holy Ghost led me into this because I was having a talk about some old preachers with somebody yesterday and how God tried to discredit. God say every gift, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness and no shadow of turning. He even reminded me of that old scripture that I used to keep my Bible open to when I had determined to make myself rich. But I knew I needed the Bible with my good Baptist training, you know what I mean? A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Money answers things, not people and not God. Money answers things. I believe this message came from the heart of the Father.
I've never known a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. I've never known a love like yours. Jesus, your name is power. It's breath to live in water. And your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. Let your grace ring louder every day and every hour. Cause your spirit guides me. The heart of the Father. I've never felt at home like this. Just like a child, so innocent. And I'm safe inside your arms, cause you won't let go. I've never known a love. Your spirit. God, we sing praise. God, we sing praise. We sing praise. We sing praise.
I was listening to the song, the Holy Spirit reminded me. I want y'all to know something. Everybody on this headline is not broke. Everybody on this headline is not poor either. And the reason everybody on this headline is not dumb. It's some highly intelligent people on this headline. And it only takes one idea, brothers and sisters. One idea, and you go from poverty to millionaire. One idea. Jeff Bezos, former CEO, now space entrepreneur, he had a daddy that picked up old tools and stuff and would put them back together. And him and his daddy and his brother would do this, and they would build on things. And look at him today. He decided he wanted a space company to go up in space. He got it. I just use him because he's the most, you know, readily available person I could think of. But, you know, when I was in elementary school, the thing that fascinated me was space. I can remember talking to my daddy, and I said to my daddy, I said, you know, if I could manufacture, I'm in elementary school, if I could manufacture one screw out of some kind of material to go on the Apollo space capsule, I said, I could be rich. And my daddy looked at me and he said, I guess you're right. And I don't know, I let a teacher talk me out of it. I let a teacher talk me out of it saying, you'll never do that. You could never do that. But I knew even as a little girl that it was going to take a different kind of material on that spacecraft. And all you had to do was make one screw and they would have to buy it from you. I thought that out and I let a teacher talk me out of it. That's why I didn't listen to preachers. They tried to talk me out of knowing Jesus. And the more they talked, the more I sought him out. the more I studied, the more I wanted to know about him. And you know what? I believe this message. I'm taking this message to heart. The Bible says you're going to have poor people forever. But I say Erica Shepherd doesn't want to be poor. I ain't saying I want to be rich off no people, but you know what wealthy is? Being comfortable. Being comfortable. Being able to eat fried catfish, chocolate cake, when you want to. It's just being comfortable. Being able to go to Disney World if you want to. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. And don't you think your father wants you to be comfortable? You can ask him. You can ask him. Give me something to sell. Give me something to... Give me a... Brother Joe, I don't think he likes food trucks too much, but they work. He likes restaurants. So he didn't have a... His mother had a... My husband's mother had a restaurant. That's how he became a chef. His mama had him and his big brother. His mama set up a hamburger stand for his big brother. You could do it. The Bible says you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But let me tell you who your mortal enemy is. You got a demon, a fallen angel who wants you to be fallen just like he is. He have to steal your wealth. He have to put his host out there. They living off of God's air. They corrupting what belongs to us believers. I'm ministering the Father's heart to you this morning. What father wants to see their kids suffering?
I've never known a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. And I've tasted, I've seen, and nothing comes close. I've never known.
It don't have to be so technical. You can invent a toy. I see a dog toy, and they sell them at PetSmart. You know how many dog toys they sell? All you got to do is create one thing, one piece of art, one craft. But it's gotta start with you taking every poverty thought, every thought that you are not of value, under subjection.
Love like yours. Jesus, your name is power. It's breath to live in water. And your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. Ready your breath.
You say, well, I don't have any money to do it. I just told you. The cattle on 1,000 hills, all the gold, all the silver belong to your daddy. And I guarantee you, if it's something and he's in it, it will succeed. If he got to create the money, if he got to, I can remember years ago, money was falling off of Brinks trucks all over the place. They never did get all that money back.
Sing louder every day and every hour, 'cause your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. I've never felt at home like this, just like a child, so innocent. And I'm safe inside your arms, 'cause you won't let go. I've never known a love like yours. Oh, Jesus, your name is power. It's breath.
Now, these thoughts may seem revolutionary to you, but I remember back in the, it must have been the 80s, when they did the first, TBN, the Crouches, did the first, IMAX movie in Henderson, Tennessee, and it was called The Revolutionary. It was a story of Jesus. People came from all over to see it, me being one, me and Brother Joe. Brothers and sisters, God gave you a mind, but you got to cast the devil out of it. You got to bring all your thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God to zero, to zero. And you got to think. Remember, in the beginning, God created, period. Every work, everything God ever did was done through creation. You are a product of his creation. I'm a product of his creation. So then, why don't we take these minds, put them to God's use, and allow him to create through us, through you. This little boy that made way up in the six figures. You know what he makes? Bow ties. It's a little girl. I think she just went over 1.6 million. She ain't but 13. You know what she makes? Hair barrettes. Now she going on into 2 million this year with novelty hair barrettes. You don't have to be no rocket scientist. It's okay if you are. Then invent something, whatever. But I'm talking to you, and not to mention how many people done got rich making cookies. Cookies. I think Nabisco been selling cookies for 100 years. Just come up with a good cookie. Come out with something.
Maybe you're not like me. Maybe we don't agree. Maybe that doesn't mean we gotta be enemies. Maybe we just get brave, take a big leap of faith, call a truce so me and you can find a better way. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. Yeah. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. I'm turning the TV down, drowning their voices.
You know what else? Come up with creative ways to help other people get their goods and their products to the marketplace. It's a million ways. I'm gonna start. I subscribed again to Inc. Magazine and Entrepreneur Magazine. I did it. I was thinking just so I could keep up with what's happening on the marketplace. But it might be just like when I started selling them houses to help poor people have houses. I looked up one day, and wow. I looked up one day, and I had sold $1 million in houses. I looked up the end of the next year. I had sold $6 million in houses, and I didn't have $1, not one penny, to buy one house. I just had a need and a desire to help poor people in South Florida have a place to live that they could own. Revolutionary.
Now, 'cause I believe that you and me can find some common ground. But I walk a mile in your shoes. If it means I might see the world the way you do. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. What would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. Yeah, he would love first.
We can, 'cause we got the real thing. Revolutionary. Let's go win the world for Jesus Christ. Revolutionary.
I've got me a friend who's mine. Every distal wall down the aisle right now.
think about it, Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it.
Noonday prayer, 12 o'clock. Revolutionary.